Welcome to episode 1244 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today we continue our series, 1010 with Jesus. A deeper look, as we are winding down the final section in our chapter, Ripped from the Headlines, in which we examine Jesus' take on topics of contemporary relevance. How can we make sense of what's going on in our world today? How would Jesus respond to or counsel us about the issues that dominate our news feeds? If Jesus' teachings are so clear on many of these issues, caring for the poor, welcoming strangers, choosing love over fear, peace over violence, why do so many of his followers seem to believe the opposite? Two ways of seeing the world.
We need to build a wall to keep out dangerous foreigners. We must protect our Christian nation from people who don't share our values. If someone threatens us, we have the right to defend ourselves with deadly force. The poor need to pull themselves up by their bootstraps instead of depending on handouts.
I was a stranger and you invited me in. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Blessed are the peacemakers. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.
The first quote often reflects what many in our world characterize as Christian values. But how different those sentiments are from what Jesus actually teaches. Here's the uncomfortable truth we need to face. There's often a massive gap between what Jesus actually said and did, and what many Christians believe he would say and do today. This isn't a new problem. In Matthew 7, Jesus himself warned,
"Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven."
Jesus understood that it was possible to use his name while completely missing his message. So how did we get here? How did the followers of a Middle Eastern refugee who preached radical love, economic justice, and nonviolence become associated with nationalism, wealth accumulation, and military might? To understand how Christianity drifted from Jesus' teachings, we need to start with history. Specifically, what happened when Christianity went from being a persecuted minority to the official religion of the Roman Empire. In 312 AD, something happened that fundamentally changed Christianity forever. Emperor Constantine converted to Christianity and eventually made it the official religion of Rome. This is known as the Constantinian Shift, and its effects are still with us today. Think about what this meant. The religion founded by a man who was executed by Rome became Rome's official religion. The faith that began with "Blessed are the poor" became the religion of the wealthy and powerful. The movement that proclaimed, "My kingdom is not of this world," suddenly found itself running earthly kingdoms. Jesus had warned about exactly this kind of temptation. In Matthew 4, verses 8 to 10, when Satan offered Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor, Jesus responded,
"Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'"
But what Constantine offered the church wasn't presented as temptation. It was presented as victory. Christianity could finally stop being persecuted and start being powerful. The problem is that Jesus' teachings were designed for people who weren't in power. His Sermon on the Mount makes sense for people who are poor in spirit, who mourn, who are meek. It's much harder to apply when you're the one making the laws, commanding the armies, and controlling the wealth. So gradually, Christianity began to change. Instead of challenging empire, it became empire. Instead of comforting the afflicted, it began afflicting the comfortable who questioned it. Instead of speaking truth to power, it became power. This shift is visible throughout Christian history. The Crusades, the Inquisition, chattel slavery in the New World, church approval of South African apartheid, the silence during the Holocaust. All of these happened when Christians confused the kingdom of God with earthly kingdoms. In America, this pattern repeated. Christianity became identified with American nationalism, white supremacy, and capitalism. The American dream replaced the Sermon on the Mount. God and country became inseparable, even when the country was doing things Jesus would have opposed. This isn't to say that all Christian involvement in politics is wrong, or that Christians can't be patriotic. But when Christianity becomes primarily about preserving political power, cultural dominance, or economic advantage, it stops being the religion of Jesus and becomes the religion of empire. Jesus anticipated this problem. In Luke 16, verse 13, he said,
No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
The same principle applies to serving both God and political power, or God and cultural dominance, or God and any earthly system that conflicts with his teachings. Today, we see the effects of this historical drift everywhere. Christianity in America is often more recognizable as a political movement than a spiritual one. Churches split over elections more than theology. Christian leaders are judged more by their political loyalty than their Christ-like character. We've created a version of Christianity that Jesus himself might not recognize. One that's more concerned with winning culture wars than washing feet. More focused on preserving privilege than proclaiming good news to the poor. This historical drift explains why American Christianity often sounds more like American nationalism than the teachings of Jesus. We've spent 1,700 years learning to make Jesus fit our political and cultural preferences rather than letting him challenge them. But history alone doesn't explain why individual Christians today struggle to hear Jesus' radical message. We also need to understand how our cultural and psychological biases shape how we read the Bible. One of the biggest reasons Christians get Jesus wrong is that we often approach faith from a place of fear rather than love. When we're afraid of losing our safety, our status, our culture, our control, we tend to make Jesus into someone who protects what we already have, rather than someone who calls us to give it up for others. But Jesus consistently called his followers to move beyond fear. In Matthew 10, verse 28, he said,
"Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul."
In John 14, verse 27, he promised,
"Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid."
Fear makes us tribal. It makes us see other people as threats rather than neighbors. It makes us prioritize our security over their well-being. And it makes us miss Jesus' repeated calls to radical love. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus' most frequent command wasn't "be afraid" or "protect yourself." It was "don't be afraid and follow me," usually into situations that required sacrifice and vulnerability. Another reason we get Jesus wrong is that we tend to remake him in our own image rather than letting him remake us in his. This is what theologians call domesticating Jesus, turning him into someone who confirms our existing beliefs rather than challenges them. Conservative Christians often emphasize Jesus' moral teachings while downplaying his social justice message. Liberal Christians often emphasize Jesus' social justice while downplaying his moral demands. Both groups cherry-pick the Jesus they're comfortable with while ignoring the parts that make them uncomfortable. But the real Jesus doesn't fit neatly into any modern political category. He was simultaneously more radically loving and more morally demanding than either conservatives or liberals usually want to admit. Jesus warned about this tendency in Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9. Quoting Isaiah,
"These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules."
When we make Jesus conform to our political tribe, our cultural preferences, or our economic interests, we're worshiping a Jesus of our own creation rather than the Jesus of the Gospels. The gap between what Jesus taught and what many of his followers practice today is not a new problem, but a persistent legacy of history and human nature. It is the result of centuries of confusing the kingdom of God with earthly kingdoms and allowing fear and self-interest to shape our understanding of the gospel. Yet, Jesus himself warned against this very thing, calling us to worship and serve God alone, and to pursue a radical love that transcends political loyalties, cultural preferences, and personal comfort. The challenge for us is to reclaim the authentic Jesus, not as a figure who confirms our biases, but as the one who lovingly and relentlessly calls us to a different way of living, a way of selfless love, justice, and peace that truly sets us free. We will finish why we get Jesus so wrong in tomorrow's episode. Father, we come before you with humble hearts, asking for forgiveness for the times we have made you in our own image. Forgive us for prioritizing earthly power over your kingdom and for letting our fears overshadow your command to love. Help us to see Jesus as he truly is and to follow his example of radical love, justice, and selflessness, no matter the cost. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today,